Welcome to the Beer Healer Shortcuts. You know, when I have these conversations, quite often there's a little tidbit here and there that gets thrown onto the cutting room floor, which might actually be of interest to some people, but they tend to go nowhere. Other times, there might be a new beer being released, or a new brewery being opened, or perhaps one of the listeners has had an amazing beer experience that they just need to share with the listeners. These are great reasons to have a conversation, but they aren't usually enough to fill a typical 30 to 60 minute episode, but there is still some great stuff in there. If you are a brewery, a sales rep, a brewer, or just a fan, the Beer Healer Shortcuts is the place where your fun, interesting, and informative tidbits have a home. So let's get into another Beer Healer Shortcut.
So I'm here in WA, been driving around. I've made my way down to Busselton, or Busso as the locals told me it's called. Made my way out about another, 10Ks in some other direction to come and meet up with Hamish Coates, who was episode 19 of the Beer Healer Interviews two or so years ago, I reckon, and come to check it out here. Been met by four dogs, and now the great man himself has arrived from a meeting down in... you can hear Hamish laughing right now because technology has fucked me over today. I'm going to cut the long story short. I've driven down from Scarborough into Busselton, and I've come out another 10 or so Ks out to Rocky Ridge Brewing to catch up with Hamish Coates and see what's been going on with him for the last couple of years. I had a wonderful little intro that I did there, but we'll skip that one now because it's all about Hamish and what he's been up to. It's been 2 years since we spoke thereabouts, and a lot has happened in his life. Mate, just give us a quick rundown of what happened.
So I think it went something like we doubled capacity again, and we were talking about the fact that over that time you lose sight of why you initially started the brewery in the first place. So we got really caught up with and carried away with, and to be honest, we still do make a core range, which is going really well for us, and it has been hugely well, like well received, which is great. Yep. So very humbling for us to have seen that happen over this time. But at the same time, we're now back to a point where we're like, no, we need to concentrate back on who we are and what we want to be, which is just having fun with smaller batches, limited releases, utilizing local ingredients. And you know, Ricky and I, so Ricky's head of sales and marketing, my left and right hands.
I think you mentioned he was your first employee
So first employee, actually now shareholder as well. So we brought him into the fold. So now it's Mel, me, my dad and Ricky. So we're all in this together. But basically, we went down, did a trip around the Great Southern. So Great Southern from here is sort of encompasses about a four-hour drive around down towards Albany.
Yep.
And so many amazing producers in that region. Yeah. So we actually did a trip around, met a heap of them, and procured a whole pile of seconds fruit coming over the next month and a half. Nice. So basically, we've planned a whole beer series around all of this fruit that we're reclaiming that was otherwise going to be wasted. We're paying the farmers for it, so they're making some money out of it, which is awesome. And everybody's winning in this scenario.
It's so nice to hear you say this, because literally in that first episode, that's exactly what you were talking about. You wanted to be as a brewery, like not only just the first employee, the fact that you want to use the local ingredients where possible. It's so nice that you've found your way back.
Well, that's what we need to do. I mean, it's what we want to do. It's what we want to have fun with. Like, it's literally, it's all about having fun. Yep. Because if we're not having fun, what the fuck is the point in doing it?
Oh, exactly, mate. Exactly. As you get older, that becomes just such a big part of your mantra, just to realise, if I'm not in it for some fun, what the fuck am I in it for?
Yeah, exactly. It just becomes another job, right? And I mean, I absolutely love this job, and I absolutely love what we do, and I love the beers we create. And it's a whole process with our core range as well, making sure that they're better every single time we brew them, making sure that consistency is there, making sure the quality is there. It's huge. It's a hell of a lot of work. But on the flip side of that, it's got to be experimental. It's got to be interesting. And, you know, we want to be giving back to our community, and part of that is finding suppliers and going, hey, guys, what are you doing with this? Oh, it's gone to waste. Can we buy it off you? It's awesome.
Yep, yeah. So are you still sort of, because actually, last night was the IBA Awards, and I was down at Shelter Brewing hanging out with some of the crew from Eagle Bay and Cheeky Monkey and Shelter, obviously. And I was saying to them, like I actually mentioned to the Eagle Bay guys, like I've never actually drunk one of their, I had my first one last night at the fire engine or the fire station. Pub. But I hadn't had any, and he's like, and I think I was talking to one of the, he might have been the general manager, a tall fella.
Yeah, Keith.
Yeah, and he said, no, because we don't make enough beer to go anywhere outside pretty much our local area, and we don't kind of need to or kind of want to. So the whole Eastern Seaboard has got no idea about so many of these brands over here, which is part of the reason why I love having these chats with you guys, because it's cool to find out about all this. Like, the scene over here is just absolutely booming. It's magnificent. Yeah. And we don't know about it on the Eastern Seaboard.
It's the tyranny of distance. Yeah. I mean, honestly, we actually have more representation in Singapore than we do on the East Coast. I mean, we sell our beer through Northdown, and they do a fantastic job. So Adam's absolutely amazing, and the team are doing really well. But the reality is, to send beers across the Nullarbor, it's intensive, it's time consuming. They seem to get frozen every other fucking shipment as well, which isn't great. We end up losing a lot of stock as well, which isn't great. Whereas, yeah, we've got Singapore just there, and it's literally just there from us here in WA. It's one of those things where we concentrate more on that Southeast Asian market and our WA home ground. As Eagle Bay have said, why do we need to go further? You really don't. Like, we've got a really good captive audience here. And,
What have you got in WA? Is it 2 million people? Is it?
2.5.
2.5?
Yeah, 2.5, 2.6, something like that.
Five times Tasmania in terms of population. Like, yeah.
We've probably got 10 times the breweries though as well. So there's
I think last time we spoke, we quoted 30.
Yeah, so we're at 75 or 76 now. So yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I even know, like, driving down through the Margaret River today, I reckon I was expecting to see winery after winery after winery, but I saw at least, I reckon, half a dozen breweries down that way, and I probably haven't even scratched the surface.
Yeah, so the wineries are prolific down here. There's, I think, 200-odd wineries in name and in form as well. Yep. Whether or not they have a cellar door attached to them is another thing entirely, but they're here, so.
Yeah, and then in between you've got these little breweries popping up and doing a similar sort of thing, are they? Is that sort of their mesh or are they more just production facilities?
No, there's production facilities, there's cellar doors, there's full-on, like, 600-person breweries as well, as I think you obviously would have seen at Shelter. They've done an amazing job there overlooking the bay. It's fantastic.
It's an absolute... This is about Shelter, this podcast, but it is a great tourist attraction. My God.
Oh, no, it's absolutely unbelievable what they've achieved.
For me, it rivals, if not betters, Frio's Little Creatures, perhaps. Yep. That view and just...
100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rivals, if not betters. It's absolutely amazing. And we've got a plethora of those down here. I mean... Cheeky Monkeys Brewery down on Caves Road, Black Brewing Co. down on Caves Road, if you go out to Eagle Bay.
I'm going to Eagle Bay tomorrow,
It's absolutely amazing. The view out there is breathtaking. It's fantastic. Mug River Brew House, Colonial Brewing, Quarrymut Brewing, Beer Farm. Like, all of them have got fantastic venues. I hope I haven't forgotten anyone in that. But Wild Hop. Wild Hop are one of my favourite, and you've got to get up there as well. But honestly, we're so lucky down here. We're absolutely spoiled for choice, and it's just...
It's unreal. And, like, such a great community. I know, just I'm only here a week, so I can only do so much, and I've got the family with me. And if I did every single thing that every one of the followers or whatever on Instagram or friends of Perth beer snobs that are giving me ideas, I could fill up like 5 weeks worth of stuff. I said to them, next time I'm coming back, and I'm coming back either on my own or with a boys trip where I can just go and do all these brewery things. Because I just can't, because there is literally so much of it.
Yep.
And everybody is just so fucking into it. Yep. It is just, it's like... everybody sort of claims to have, we're the best state for beer, best beer scene. Like, I think WA could really put their hand up and claim it. But the problem is, because it's over here, nobody else knows how awesome it is, do they?
Yeah, but that's nice. It's our little secret.
Yeah, it's just like Tassie sort of.
We'll keep it. Quite honestly, I think everybody's got everything going for them. I mean, we're really lucky here where we are. We've got so many amazing breweries, so many amazing wineries. The food is phenomenal. It's just such a beautiful part of the world. But, again, I can't say that it's any better than Melbourne. I can't say it's any better than Sydney. I can't say it's any better than anywhere in Tasmania. Yep. It's honestly, I think Queensland, Northern Territory, list goes on.
You forgot South Australia.
South Australia, Canberra. Point is, like,
it's pretty
we're
good.
Super lucky, but we're pretty fucking lucky here in Australia, full stop. So it's...
So let's jump back onto you. So, you know, you've had, I think your blog said it was a roller coaster of a year or thereabouts, that blog article. I forget what it was told. Roller coaster
last year, I think.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, you've had the ups and the downs. Like, I mean, maybe more than some, perhaps. I'm not sure. But, like, everybody's been going through some pretty tough times because of COVID in one way or another. Some have pivoted. Some have had success. Some have changed their whole entire business model. I mean, you've made some major changes around here, haven't you? You've had to.
We've been up and down and around about, quite honestly. It's been hectic. And I think a lot of that's inexperience. I mean, obviously, we're learning as we go.
I don't have
any other experience to fall back on when it comes to anything along these lines. We've been incredibly lucky. We've got some amazing people supporting us. Our customers are incredibly loyal and keep coming back, which is fantastic. And I can never speak highly enough of everybody who goes out and buys some of our beers, because honestly, without them, this doesn't happen. And you know, we always try to make these beers with that in mind and go, we just want to put a smile on everyone's face, which is where I get back to with that experimental side of things. Yeah. That's what we want to do. That's who we are. Look, we were really, honestly, here in WA, lucky through COVID. We had a couple of weeks shut down, but overall, everything just kept on as normal. It was business as usual, if not slightly busier than normal, because no one was going on holidays. So we actually...
I was going to ask you about that, because some of the guys last night said that a lot of people obviously couldn't holiday interstate or overseas, so they've all been coming down south.
Yeah.
So maybe it's even been busier for you lot down here with, in terms of how much beer you got to pump out.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, we've grown, well, I hesitate to say exponentially, but very close to over the 4 years we've been in existence. But the last year's been hectic. It's been more of a challenge keeping beer rolling out the door than we've ever had before. It's part of the reason we've gone back to, well, we just need to have fun and enjoy the beers we're making, because we all reached a point where we were breaking. It's like, no, let's just concentrate on what we know we want to do rather than what we think we need to do. And that's been working. So we're happy with that. But I guess we've probably faced our biggest challenge ever this year. We had a huge issue with one of the raw ingredients we use in the beer, and it caused a mass. We ended up dumping 90,000 litres of beer as a result of it. Anyway, we're still working with that supplier to try and come to some kind of arrangement. But ultimately, that deflated us pretty significantly.
90,000 litres of beer, that's what, a month's?
Nearly a month's supply. It was pretty hectic. We bounced back and we're still going strong, which is nice, but it took a huge toll on our team. I mean, there was a lot that went on behind the scenes that didn't really make it out into the public, and trying to stay on top of that and keep morale high has been difficult, which again is why we've gone back to that, you know, let's just brew beer we want to brew rather than pandering to what we think everybody else wants to see. It's like, no, let's brew beers we fucking want to drink. Big bit of West Coast IPAs all the way.
and what about the sort of the tap room in Busselton? That's going well?
No, it's been great. Huge process of change over the last year and a half. It's a 1930s fibro house, just for context. I actually grew up in the house. It's my grandparents.
Is it really?
Yeah. So we've turned that into our tap house.
Mate, you've got the family linkage to this whole thing is so awesome.
So lucky. Like, I mean, I grew up down here. I've lived here my whole life. My family for generations has lived here. So it's we've got a really good tie to the region. But growing up there and as a, I'm probably not supposed to say it, but as a 16, 17-year-old drinking beers out the front there, it was fantastic. It's got a beautiful north aspect, and we thought, you know what, this would be a fantastic place to just be able to sit down and drink beers. And lo and behold, we've turned it into, our tap house. So stoked. It's been a long, slow process working through it, and we've been working with all the stakeholders in the area as well to make sure that we keep everyone happy along the way. And as you do with all of these things, it's just slow. But we're getting there. So we're really happy with where it's at right now.
So how long's it been open for?
This will be our third full year of operation Easter. This is our first year with a full tavern license. So before that, we were just a producer license.
Yep.
Here in WA, that means you can only have tasters, so you can't have a full beer, and you have takeaways. So that was interesting for the first couple of years, but we managed to make it work. Part of the reason we went for having 25 taps, but then we love brewing different beers, so it all kind of played in really nicely. We're actually looking at expanding that now to 40, and just really pushing through with it.
Cellarman just to handle that.
It's good fun though. Yeah. We always have the beers. I mean,
if there's 40 taps, is that all you or are you guesting?
That's all us. That's all us.
That's a lot of beer.
Well, we did the numbers. So this year to date, we've released 72 releases. By end of year, we'll have done 82.
Wow. Yeah, we talked last time about how many you were cranking out. It just kept going up and up.
And we were sitting back the other day going, how many beers have we actually done this year? Because we didn't really know. We hadn't thought about it.
And so
our numbers guy, Steele, who sits up in the office, was like, work it out. And he went back through everything. And he's like, so this is including Cellador exclusive releases or Tap House exclusive releases. Yeah, 72 to date. And by the end of the year, it'll be 82.
Shit.
We've got a, what have we got planned for December? December's a big month. I think, yeah, we've got 10 releases planned, not including any of us sour releases either. So we've got our barrel stuff coming out as well.
It was funny, when I was waiting for you to arrive here, I was taking a bit of a wander around the barrel area, if you like, out there. And I was noting, like, it was quite funny, you know, there's some X's on some, there's like good and there's bad and all this sort of stuff, little notes to yourself just to remember what it was.
Those I can tell you right now are all bad now. So we've the last month and a half, we've been going through everything. So we've got a barrel storage shed that's off-site where all the barrels are housed and kept in a somewhat temperature-controlled area. But those ones will all get dumped, cleaned, filled with storage solution, and then if they hold, they'll get refilled again with perpetual sour.
So hold, they don't leak?
If they hold. If they don't hold, then we'll either look at them and assess them. If they work, they work. If they don't, they don't. I'll show you that.
We're wandering through the brewery now.
I'll show you the best barrel that we've got.
The best barrel. It's funny, when I was looking at those barrels, I've been up to Will Tatchell's Van Diemen. I know I talk about him a lot, but he has a sprinkler that sits over the top of his barrels sometimes just to keep them
keep them cool.
I think you'd have a bit more of a trouble keeping them cool in this joint. Holy shit. So what we're looking at right now, imagine half a barrel cut in half, but at 6 foot high. It's huge.
Yeah, so
what is that?
So that's a fooder. So that's
a fooder.
4,000 litre oak vessel, basically.
Shit.
So that one's ex-cognac. So that actually had a Pilsner in it for the first 6 weeks. So we decided to do something really outrageous because we don't know anyone who's decided to put a Pilsner into a cognac barrel. Actually, I'll give you a taste of it in a minute once we have this
connected by cords.
But it's now got a 24-hour barley wine in it. So we brewed a barley wine about a month ago now where Ross and I did a overnight shift and boiled it for 24 hours. It's a single malt barley wine. It was interesting.
Boiled for 24 hours?
Yeah, so we actually had to do 4 mashes to continue to top the kettles back up again as we went through because we lost so much volume.
Yep.
But the colour change was immense. It was like, I'll show you a photo of it in a minute.
And single malt.
Single malt. So just base malt, pale malt. And it's gone from being like a beautiful Pilsner to being a beautiful barley wine. The flavour change was incredible. It wasn't anything that we expected at all. So we got this beautiful stewed fruit, plum flavour and character coming through. A little bit of caramel in there, but it's just so different and unique. Like it was a challenging experiment because at about 2 o'clock in the morning, both of us looked at each other and went, fuck this. But we pushed through, we got through it. And ruined the rest of our weeks, but it was a hell of a lot of fun.
It's funny, mate, just seeing the look on your face then, I wish the listeners could see it like, that's the spark that you wanted to get back, isn't it? That whole experimentation.
Experimenting, doing shit for the sake of, like, just trying and see what happens. Yeah, exactly. Like the harebrained idea we got at the moment, because I was showing you the still that we're building at the moment.
Yes.
And like, what we want to do is brew a barley wine.
Yep.
Barrel age it.
Yep.
Pull that barley wine back out into the still, distill it down and put it back into the barrels that it was aged in as a barley wine.
Oh, wow.
Just to have a little bit of fun and see
happens. See what comes out.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Fun. why the fuck not? That's what I reckon.
Exactly.
Legend. Oh, well, let's finish this up so we can try this beer out of this huge barrel. I'll share some photos of the stuff we've been talking about so people can see it. But, mate, I'm so glad that you seem to have found your fire again and that the next 12 months you're going to be just getting back to exactly what you wanted to do 2 or so years ago when we first chatted, which is just having fun with brewing and bloody loving what you're doing. It's just magnificent, mate. Cheers.
Cheers.
Good empty cans. And thanks for joining me. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to another Beer Healer Shortcut. To help support the show, rate, review, follow or subscribe via your favourite podcast platform, especially if you listen on Apple Podcasts. If you've got something that you want to share with the listeners, shoot me a message via my Facebook or Instagram page. Cheers to great beers.